Hi, this is Scott Stanley, DTG Ministries, Exploring the Deep Things of God. I want to say that on every podcast because we are getting into some pretty deep things. We have seen in the last few podcasts that the apostasy spoken of in the New Testament that was going to come on all the world happened 2,000 years ago. And if you don't understand that, if you haven't been able to see that, I would encourage you to take some time and listen to the podcast that we're putting out here. Because the Bible is explicitly clear. You can't misunderstand it. When Paul writes that this apostasy will happen before the man of sin, and he already sees evidence of the man of sin, and it's going to last to the end of the world. And then John tells you that we see Antichrist already. They went out from us. So this apostasy happened in the first century, or began in the first century, and people walked away from the teachings of the apostles after being in the church. So I maintain that there were certain things that they were taught to come into the church. Jesus is Christ, he died, he buried, he was buried, he rose and appeared. But they walked away from the teachings of the apostles dealing with the Father and Son in eternity past and dealing with the birth of Christ, that he came in the flesh without a knowledge of God. They deny that. John tells us that's what makes an Antichrist an Antichrist. So let's just say that we accept 1 John chapter 2 and 1 John chapter 4 and Paul's writings about the Antichrist and 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's say we accept all of that. And we realize that all of our lives, we have been dealing with the apostasy in the churches. And you really don't deal with it the way I'm describing, unless you want to become a Christian and you enter into a church, any denomination, any of them. You enter into a church, you're honest in heart, you really want to serve God, you really want to know the truth. If you're one of those people, like I was as sincere as I could be. I believed that God had forgiven me, and I wanted to serve God. And I wanted to surround myself with people like me who wanted to serve God. So I find myself in a denomination, no different than anybody else. I'm looking, I'm searching. And what would life be like for a person like me? What would life be like for you if you were born in a time that apostasy reigned, but you didn't know it? You didn't realize that. And you didn't realize that the Trinity was one of the things that kept the apostasy the apostasy. What would life be like for you? Well, I can tell you what life was like for me. I gave my heart to the Lord. I was as sincere as I could be. And I found myself in a denominational group because I had been raised by a mother who believed in sending me to church, even though I wasn't converted. I mean, I was a kid and going to church and had a Bible and learning the books of the Bible and so on, you know, vacation Bible school, the whole thing. So what was life like for me when I finally really gave my heart to God? Well, of course, I was encouraged to study the Bible. So I give my heart to the Lord. A week later, I go out and buy a Bible. I get a Thompson Chain Reference, King James. And I begin to study the Bible. And, of course, I don't have a perfect understanding. Who does? But the people in my denomination didn't either. And so everyone is teaching us things, and I'm seeing it on television with televangelists. I'm hearing all kinds of things about God, wondering, well, what's true and what isn't. And I began to be uncomfortable trying to live what I'm being told I should be doing. Of course, we have to keep the Ten Commandments. And depending on where you're at, maybe you need to be speaking in tongues. Maybe you're in a group telling you that you need to go to church on Saturday. Maybe you're in a group that says, well, you can't play a stringed instrument in church. Maybe the things that you're being told about life, and you've got to love your wife, and you've got to love your neighbor, you got to love God, and if you look at a woman and lust, that's sin. You can't do that. You can't get mad. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. See, there's all of these verses that people are interpreting, and you give me a Bible, I'm going to read the things I'm being told. And what happens? I begin to lose my peace because what I want to do, I can't do, and what I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. I am literally living a Romans 7 experience, and I don't even know it. And I can't understand, you know, does God expect me to do all this? Well, no. Jesus died and he paid your sin debt. So your sin is all paid for. Past, present, and future. Depending on who you talk to, they will stress that future, that you can't live without sin until God gives you a new body. And that isn't going to happen until the rapture. Well, when's the rapture? Well, I don't know, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. We don't know. We just know it's going to happen. So stay in tune with God. Let His Spirit lead and guide you. And if you mess up, see, that was another thing. Well, when I sinned, did the Holy Spirit leave my body? Because how can He be with me, a sinner? And then I have to go pray and ask forgiveness and get Him to come back in my body. Now, this may sound silly to some of you, but I'm telling you, it wasn't silly to me. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand the way the book had been defined for me. So, depending on what you're told and what denomination you're in, some verses are more important to you than other verses. What do you mean? Well, for instance, the golden verse is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and that has to be one of the most valuable verses in the Bible, because it tells us the Trinity is true. 1 John 5:7. There are three that bear record, and they're all one. Matthew 28:19. Go preach in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Those verses are more valuable. Well, you become Pentecostal. Let's say you go to a Pentecostal church, and now 1 Corinthians 14, Acts chapter 2. See, these verses are what's important, because he wants you to speak in tongues. And I'm telling you, if you don't speak in tongues, you don't know God. Believe it or not, people said that to me. So depending on who you're listening to, depending on the church you're going to, you are as honest and sincere as you can possibly be. You want to serve God. But when you pick up the Bible, you start putting your own meanings to it. I say own meanings, things that you've been taught, and you go read that into the Bible yourself. And then you start determining, well, these verses are more important than those verses. So this is what's important. And I've even been told many times that if you don't understand Genesis chapter 1, then you don't know anything. The whole Bible's based on that. And I was told, well, we are a New Testament church. We don't even read the Old Testament. We're a New Testament church. So these verses are more important than those verses. Okay. Till finally, this went on in my life for years, until finally I felt like God is not even in anything I'm doing. Because, you know, I'm not able to live what I'm being told I'm supposed to live. And it just isn't making sense anymore. And I'm reading the Bible, I'm seeing things that don't add up to what I'm being told. And I realize, honestly, one day, I don't think God is even in anything I'm doing. How could he be? I mean, the life I'm living, I have sin in my life. He's forgiving me, but I can't overcome sin. I'm just having a bad time here. And I cried out to God to help me. And what God did to help me was first show me the apostasy I was in not understanding Jesus really is the Son of God. The Trinity is not true. Jesus really is the Son of God. And in order to get that through my head, the Lord had to show me verses in the Bible that contradicted what I was being taught at church. Now, it's frightening because, you know, who am I? Who are you to tell that preacher you're wrong? Who are we anyway? I've never been to a theological seminary in my life. And yet I'm seeing things in the Bible that these guys teaching are denying to be true. He showed me that the way I was reading the Bible, I was putting my own meaning to it, and that all of the things I had learned needed to just be cast down. In fact, the way I thought God thought needed to be changed. The way I'm looking at God and what He is determining, what God is desiring, what God is leading us to do, that just had to go away. God had to change that. He had to give me a new way of perceiving His understanding. All of this took courage, and all of this leads you to a place where you're basically standing alone. You don't have a denomination anymore. Go read the verses that there's only one God, that Jesus is the Son of God. And let those sink in, and then go find a church that will let you come in there and believe that, and teach that, and share that. Well, there isn't one. So you're basically on your own. Now, you're going to find individuals who will agree with you, and maybe you'll start meeting with them. Maybe you'll be searching for people who understands that this Trinity and this oneness doctrine and all these things being taught about God are just not true. When you do, you're standing alone in a church world that's based on apostasy. And it's at this point God is really going to start moving in your life to help you and to bring you to Him, to bring you to understand His redemption, what He means by redemption. And you'll discover salvation is actually taking place in my heart, between my ears. Now, why am I going through all of this? Because in Revelation, you have the seals. And what I have just described to you is the process a believer goes through to find the truth, living in a world of apostasy. If you are honest in heart when you give your heart to God and you really want to serve Him, you're really going to want to read the Bible. And when you start reading that Bible, you're going to be reading and seeing things in it that you've been told are in it. And you're going to be putting your own meanings to it. And you're going to start weighing these verses out. What is more important than the other? And if you're honest in heart, you'll come to a place where you'll realize something is not right in my life. Something is wrong here. You'll ask for help, and the Lord will begin to straighten you out. Now, when you look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four living creatures saying, come and see. Seals of what? Well, it's a book that the Lamb, or Christ, is opening. And if you'll turn back to chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5, let's just look at verse 1. I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and behind. King James put backside. And it was sealed with seven seals. This book is you. The book is your life starting when you began to serve God. God is holding this book, and if you'll notice that there's one on that throne. There is one on the throne, and that book is your understanding. It is written within your heart and your past, within and behind. And it's sealed with seven seals. First of all, a seal is positive. Seals are confirmation. So when the Lamb begins to open your book to you, He is giving you understanding of how you got to where you are. And remember, these seals go all the way to chapter 8. Chapter 6 has six of them, but there are seven seals. So when you look at the first confirmation, confirming what? Confirming you're sincere, you're honest. When the Lamb opened one of the confirmations, and this is the first one because all the rest are numbered, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on. When the Lamb opened or gave you understanding of this confirmation, I heard the noise of thunder, the voice of thunder. Thunder is a rebuke. Psalms 104:7. Remember, Revelation was signified. It's in symbols. I heard rebuke. And one of the four living creatures said, come and see, and as we get into Revelation, I'm going to show you what those living creatures are and what all of that represents. Right now, I'm just trying to make a point. This is your life as a Christian. Verse 2, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer, and that is you, coming to the Lord, accepting Christ, finding forgiveness, and you go forth conquering and to conquer sin in your life. In verse 3, when he opened the second confirmation, and see, it's a confirmation that you're honest. You're on a white horse. Well, the second is another confirmation that you're honest, you're sincere. There went out, verse 4, another horse. This one's red. Why red? Because red is self. Red is the earth. Earth is a symbol of self. This horse is red. Why? Well, because look what happens. There was given him that sat on that horse to take peace from the earth or from yourself, that they would not kill one another, and there was given him a great sword. What is he talking about? Well, the sword's the Bible. The great sword is the book. And what's beginning to happen here? You're beginning to read the book, and you're putting your own definitions to it. Another horse that's red, there's given to him that's set to take peace from the earth. I can't do what you're telling me to do. I'm doing what I'm not supposed to do. The peace is taken from the earth because of what you're reading in the Bible and what you think you're supposed to be doing. See, peace was taken from the earth. And your sword, you're given a great sword, the Bible, and notice what he says. There was given unto him that set to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. I just think of my life and studying the Bible and putting people to death with my sword. and showing them they don't know what they're doing. You're going to hell. You know, peace is taken from the earth. And you kill one another, and you're given the sword. Verse 5, he opens the third confirmation. See, these are confirmations. We all do it. And what God is telling you is, if you come to him, and you're honest, you give your heart to him, and you don't start studying the Bible and putting your own definitions to it, something's wrong. Something is wrong, because if you're not wanting to study, something's wrong immediately. You should see that. But if you do want to study the Bible and grow, not knowing you're in apostasy, you're going to begin to defend the apostasy. So he opens the third seal, and there's a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, and he's measuring the wheat and the barley. He's putting value on the wheat and barley. Wheat and barley is how you make bread. Bread is a symbol of the Word of God. And here, you're determining the value of verses in the Bible. Here, you're determining that these are more important than those. What you're reading over here, you got to keep those Ten Commandments, and one of them Saturday. You got to go to church on the Sabbath. And I'm telling you that that is highlighted. That's something you got to do. And the Trinity is true. This idea of 1 Corinthians 8:6, there's only one God. I'm not even sure I've read that. It's the Trinity is true. That can't be true that there's only one God, the Father. So you're going through a process of developing the apostasy in your own life. And in verse 7, he opens the fourth confirmation, and there's a pale horse. His name or character is death. The grave follows it, and authority was given unto them, these people, over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, hunger, death, and the beast of the earth. So here, you're riding a pale horse. That word is not just pale, it's pale green. See, if you take sunlight, the truth, away, if you take sun away from a plant, it turns pale. And what you're seeing here is somebody who is not experiencing life, they're experiencing death. Remember the message to Sardis in Revelation 3, you have a name that you're living, but you're dead. See, the prodigal son. Well, this my son was dead. Now he's alive. He's not talking about literal physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. And believing the Bible according to your own understanding does not have life. That is an abomination to pick up the Word of God, say it's the Word of God, and then say, well, I'll tell you what it means. See, that is an abomination. It leaves you empty. I mean, if God is revealing the truth to you, that's one thing. But if you're putting your own definition to it, you're living in death and the grave. Just think about a grave. Go get in a grave and look around you, and what do you see? I see nothing but the earth. Unless I look up, and once they fill this thing with dirt, that's all I'll see. I'll have no air. I'll have no spirit. I'll only see what I want to see, my own opinion. That's death and hell. That word hell, Hades, means not to know. It literally means not to know. And what does he mean, a fourth part of the earth? A fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, hunger, death, and beast. 4 is earthly completeness. If you look at the number 4 throughout the Bible, it's earthly completeness. There's 4 directions on the compass. There's 4 seasons to finish a year. 4 is earthly completeness. And there are 4 things: the Bible, hunger, death, and beasts that will put you to death. And we could go in and identify each one of those symbols, but I think you're getting the picture. And you have to come to a place of the 5th seal in verse 9 where you cry out to God to help you. Now these people, it says, their souls are under the altar. And if you'll remember, you go back to the Old Testament, that altar of whole burnt offering, they would slay an animal and pour all the blood under the altar on the ground. In Leviticus 17, blood is a symbol of the soul. And I could say, when I read this, these people are pouring out their soul unto God, confessing we're in error. Something isn't right. I can't get my hands on it. I can't put my finger on it, but I know something isn't right in my church. And so he's going to answer you. How? Verse 12, the 6th confirmation. There's an earthquake, which is great conviction. The sun, the way you perceive Jesus, became black. He's showing you this is your problem. The way you perceive Jesus is black, as sackcloth of hair. The moon, which is a symbol of the law, the teachings, the scripture, is like blood. Your own soul, your own meanings are in this. It's red. The stars that are produced from the father and the mother and then the children. Remember in Genesis, Joseph's dream, where the sun and the moon and stars all bowed to him, and his father said, "You mean me and your mother and your brothers are going to bow to you?" Well, I have Jesus, the Son, I have the book, the law, and when the sun shines on it, it produces truth, the children, the stars, the messages. So, what is happening here? Verse 14, the heavens depart as a scroll when it's rolled together, not opened, it's closed. And the heavens represent God's understanding. Remember, you've got the heavens, the earth, and the sea. What God thinks, what you think, and what the world thinks. Heavens, earth, and sea. Rejoice if you're in the heavens. Woe be to you if you're on the earth and sea. The devil's come down to you having great wrath. See Revelation 12. So if you're dwelling in God's understanding, you're safe. If you're living according to your own understanding, you're not. And when the Lord begins to help you see the truth, the people hide from that truth and cry out that the mountains and rocks fall on them and hide them. Mountains are doctrines, rocks are concepts. They want to be hidden from the truth of God, from the face of Him that sits on the throne. This is the great day of His wrath. Well, His wrath is not against you individually. His wrath is against the lies you believe. So, you need help, God will help you. And for you to remain strong and courageous and accept the truth as God gives it. That's the question. Are you going to do that? Can you do that? Well, again, I'm hoping that we can make Revelation practical and that you can see by using these symbols, the Lord is showing us who we are and where we are in time. in what's going on. Father, help us to see and glorify you in the deep things of God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.